every time I do an album, I write almost nearly 100 or over 100 songs. So we have to cipher them down. And Smooth Criminal almost did not make it on the album. And on top of that, once it was on the album, I decided that I would make the short film into a Western. I went on the ranch on the property, and I had a cameraman to pretty much shoot me coming up with ideas of how I wanted this thing to be. I know I wanted hats, and I wanted wind, and I wanted just a lot of attitude, you know, a lot of some quick cuts, some big shot, long shot, and at the last minute, I said, no, I don't want to do it as a Western. It should be like Hot Summer Night in Chicago, 1945, an underground kind of thing going on. I think that was the best way to go. It's one of my favorite pieces. I get more comments from Smooth Criminal than any other pieces I've ever done, really. Lady Diana, in real truth, was one of the sweetest people I've ever known, because we could relate to each other. We share something in common with the press. I don't think they hounded anyone more than her and myself. And we had a relationship, a very good relationship, where we would call each other late at night for me, and we would, you know, just talk about, just like cry on each other's shoulders, how hard and difficult and how mean the tabloids can be and how they lie and twist stories around. But she came to a concert at Wembley Stadium in London. And, you know, they do in the royal family, come, you have to line up, and you meet the family and everything. But at some point, she called me away from the line, and I saw Prince Charles looking at me, and I said, oh boy. She said, I want to talk to you. So I said, yeah, what's happening? She said, are you going to do Dirty Diana tonight? I said, No, I took it out of the show, out of respect for you. She said, that's my favorite song. I said, are you serious? I said, I took it out of respect because Dirty Diana, you're in the audience. So at that point, I couldn't put it back in the show because it was too close to showtime. So I remember Prince Charles leaving the line, walking over to us, and he said, what are you talking about? And she said, oh, nothing, like that. So that was that story. And there's a couple other ones, but I don't want to, you know, say too much. She was just a wonderful, warm, compassionate person. Very caring, very caring. It was real. It wasn't publicity stuff. It was just real. She really cared. I'm the same way. I feel the same way that she does about children and the future of our children and the future of the world. What I usually do on my off days, I do as many hospitals as I do concerts. I do as many orphanages as I do concerts. But because it's good news, the press don't cover it. They want bad news. But I do it from my heart. I don't do it to wave a flag and say, look at me. We bring bags of toys and posters and albums, and you should see how it transforms these kids. They jump up and down, and they're so happy.
This is Lisa Marie and myself at a hospital in Budapest. And I saw this little kid. His name was Farkas. He was very sick. He was green in the face. But he had this glow and this sparkle in his eye. I asked this nurse, what's wrong with this kid? She said that he needs a liver. So I said, does that mean he's going to die? She said, yes, he's going to die unless he gets a liver. I said, I'm not going to let him die. This sweet, sweet angel. No matter what it takes, I'm going to find a liver for him. So I sent my organization around the world. We went all over the place, and it took a long time. And I said, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to have the child die. I was so happy when I got a phone call. They told me we found the liver, and he has his life. And I'm so proud that I could help him. God bless him. I love you, Farkas.